Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us to the truth of Jesus Christ as we seek the righteousness of you, Lord, and we seek to be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been thinking about truth lately, both the truth of the gospel and the truth in this world. I've been thinking about how people interpret the events of the days gone by. You know, history, both Bible history and worldly history. And we look into things and we find even more surprising truth. We search for truth. And one of the interesting things about our search is that it can be hard to change the things that we have already learned and the things that we believe. Socrates addressed this, and he said, "The hardest thing is to teach someone something they already know." And we do know about what it's like to tell somebody about the gospel, because people have their own preconceived ideas. And that's why we want to have understanding when we are speaking or preaching the good news of the gospel. A part of our testimony will always be about how God has worked in our life, because that is kind of indisputable. But when people know about the gospel, they have preconceived ideas. And we have to have understanding to speak to those people and communicate what the Holy Spirit of God is telling both us and that other person. I think of God and how he has worked in so many of our lives. God works in history, and we are surprised to find hidden truths in history. These truths we want to use understanding and discernment to search out, because there's so many things that are hidden that we just don't know. They have not come to our awareness. That makes me think of that archaeologist Ron Wyeth. A few years ago, he did pass away into the next life, but during his life, he has had some amazing discoveries, things that he has been a part of bringing to the world in the past decades. He does have amazing testimonies. He has photo evidence. And he has, his testimony is just very good. You can listen to that online or on YouTube. The testimony is about when he located Noah's Ark, or in evidence about the Dead Sea crossing. And there is his discussion about the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. How he located that and found it. His testimony is corroborated by other people. You can look at those testimonies. It is to me proof that we are living in amazing times. On the February 20th broadcast of Christ Today, I spoke for a couple of minutes about the author and researcher Tom Horn, and he wrote about the coming asteroid Apophis. And this asteroid was identified by the NASA and the European Space Agencies in 2013. They expect it to be a near miss with Earth in 2029. And so, Tom Horn draws parallels to suggest that this will be the biblical event of Wormwood in Revelation chapter 8. Tom Horn wrote a book about this titled The Wormwood Prophecy. And it is very interesting that in these days we are having notable biblical events. They are going on around us. And so there could be another one in the near future. So I mentioned Ron Wyeth because of the Ark of the Covenant. And in his testimony, he prayed and asked God, why at this time was he bringing to light the Ark of the Covenant? And the answer in his spirit was that these days, right now, the Ark of the Covenant would illustrate the truth of the Bible. And so there are these indicators here and there about we might be pretty close to the end of the age. And that's kind of what I mentioned on that February 20th broadcast. Events about 2026 or about 2029, and we just could be in the middle of some really important events going on, biblically speaking. And we all view past and future dates differently. And some of us will consider it important that these things are happening, and some of us will not consider it important because we just might say the only really important dates are when we are born again, when our loved ones are born again. So we all have to look in at the dates that we consider important. I do have to think about the Gospel of John in chapter 3, verse 3, where Jesus says, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that is, as we understand it, born again in the Spirit of God. So, live like you have given yourself to Jesus and show your faith by how you live your life. And another way to say it is show how thankful you are to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and for your heavenly reward, and you do that by how you live. I heard J. Vernon McGee the other day, and he said that when Jesus returns, there will be total apostasy in the church. Well, we will see. But whatever it is that is going to be, we want to be able to stand strong for Jesus Christ. And we know that we can have faith for whatever is coming, because after all, Jesus put us here right now and right at this place. So we know that we can live faithfully for a time such as this, because Jesus put us here for a time such as this. And that comes right out of the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. So, yep, whatever we are facing, God has placed us here for a time such as this. And today, things are going on in the world. Some of the things we would prefer to avoid, and some of the things we are just so very glad to witness. And we do see things, just worldly things going on too. We see troubles. We see that electrical outage that is just going on, affecting tens of millions of Americans. And so we know that in this world there are things going on. Oh yes, we would rather avoid suffering and religious persecution and great violence and rape and murder and all those horrible things. And there has always been much pain in this world. So many difficult things. But we do want to be able to show godly compassion to others. And we want to use godly wisdom as we relate to the world and relate to people around us, as we relate to our loved ones. Well, we don't want to see suffering, and we do want to show compassion. And that compassion, by the way, is attractive to other people, and they say, hey, I want to show compassion too. And that is a way to bring people to Jesus Christ also. But being prepared for what is coming is another thing that I just see it as a wise thing to do. I think of FEMA. I think of, that's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And there are so many things that we are told about what it's a good idea to do for every American to have on hand some things. So, yeah, by all means, look at that. It's just prudent. Those recent electrical outages in around Texas show how we well see that it's a good idea to be prepared in just the basic things. And you know what you ought to have. We all have a pretty good idea, but I'm going to take a couple of minutes just to talk about things on the list. And it's intended as a way for you to consider things that you might or might not have on hand already. For just in case there is that emergency, whether it's a big emergency or a small emergency, it's a good idea to have things on hand. Water is the first thing, and a water filter. Now, there's always a question of how much of anything do you have? Well, FEMA recommends 1 gallon per person per day for each member of the family and to have a 3-day minimum supply of water. And that water filter is also an important item to me. And then at least 3 days of food, maybe a week's worth of food, for each member of the family. And how about a propane camp stove to cook that food on? You might consider a 5-gallon propane tank, too. Have a non-electric radio, which would mean either battery or crank up. And that radio ought to have a NOAA weather channel. NOAA stands for National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and they talk about weather conditions and weather forecasts. Have your pharmaceutical medicines. Have a medical kit with extra medical gloves and extra dust masks. Have a whistle for signaling for help. Because if you are yelling for help, you will find out that your voice will quickly become hoarse and and raspy, and then you won't be able to yell anymore. So a whistle is a really good idea. Have a tool to turn off your water and your gas. And while you're at it, remember to turn your electricity off also. A local map is good, and I mean a map on paper, because if there's an emergency, your cell phone might not work. A flashlight with batteries are pretty important. Plenty of batteries. And I like to have two flashlights. One would be dull. Well, having a weak light, a low-powered light, because that would last a very long time. And in the night, we just don't need a bright light for most things. And then I like to have a bright light so I can see a ways off, or I can see under a tree or something like that. Then have paper currency in small denominations in case you have to buy something, oh, like from a neighbor or a neighborhood store or something. And if it looks like it's going to be a long-term time of trouble, then probably nobody's going to want your currency, at least not very much, but they will be willing to trade. Trade something you want for something they want. So just keep that in mind. Okay, I already said prescription medicines. But if it is a long-term problem, you might want to do some research to see what you can do to substitute the pharmaceutical medicine you have. You only want to do that if you absolutely need it to, but it's good to have a little idea of what to do just in case. And speaking of research, you might want to have a few books on hand that are talking about basic but important things like first aid or repairing your home or dealing with the electrical or the plumbing. Okay, and again, remember water and food. We need water and food no matter what. Some bleach for adding a few drops to a gallon of water, an eyedropper for the same thing, and that would be 8 drops in clear water and 16 droplets of bleach into a gallon of cloudy water. Remember to have matches or a Bic lighter in case you have to start a fire. And speaking about fire, you want to remember to have a fire extinguisher or water or a shovel or something if you need to put out a fire. One thing that's important about fire is if you have children around, have some burn ointment. Nothing works as good as burn ointment for quieting a burn down. And you don't want to see your children suffer, so have some burn ointment. Always, it's good to have a change of spare clothes and a little soap to wash your dirty clothes. And by the way, if you are washing your clothes by hand, you will need much less soap than you would otherwise use. So, getting your clothes clean will often be done by rubbing your clothes and getting the spots out of them, the dirty clothes, that way. And that just takes a whole lot less soap than you think you need. All right, remember other needs that you might have, like if you have a baby, whatever those needs are. If you have a pet, whatever those needs are. And for that pet, if you have a pet carrier, it's really nice. And to have your pet bowls, like for food and water, that's just real nice if you're traveling or relocating. Personal hygiene items. Yes, especially soap and tooth care and antiperspirant or feminine products, all those things, you need them. You need to sleep comfortably. So sleeping bag and blankets, and a pillow. Those are all good things. Paper towels are handy, and toilet tissue, and paper and pencil. And if you're going to be someplace for a while, or if you are quarantined, you just might want to have a few, well, call them games, things to do, like cards or something. It just helps to pass the time if you are not supposed to go outside. There are other things that fits who you just might have to be, like if you're the cook, you might want to have a timer. If you're a medical person, you might want to have medical supplies. If you're a security person, well, security things. If you're a mechanic, you'll want some tools. So all these different ideas will help you to get through that difficult time, having whatever you normally have on hand and need. But the thing is you will always do best if you make your own list. It's just that there are lists, and they help you think about the things you just might need. So yeah, have a look at it. Look at lists. It's good to do. Remember to think, to plan, and to do. One other thing about the preparedness list is they cover different circumstances. And here on the West Coast, and other parts of the country too, our emergency just could start with an earthquake. And it would include many other things that might be an electrical outage. It might be not having water for weeks. Oh, and if there was an electrical outage, we would not be able to go shopping in stores, buy gas at a gas station, or get money from the bank. These things could close for weeks, for many weeks. So, yeah, think about preparedness and have those different concerns as you are making your plan. Lists are often adjusted. You can figure to adjust any list you read or adjust your own list. That just always seems to happen. So make the changes you need to change. And always remember God in your plans. There is a spiritual aspect in life that we all need. Be prepared to speak spiritually to people for their needs. Their needs to have the love and comfort that comes from God. The understanding to accept their free gift of forgiveness of their sins from Jesus, and then eternal salvation. These things are essential parts of your preparedness also. Do remember that we come to Jesus just as we are, which is imperfect. And then as we yield to God, He changes us into who He wants us to be. It is an amazing journey. Often it takes time. Sometimes it is immediate, but we all have a testimony, and our testimonies can be helpful for other people to know about the witness of God. So remember that on your amazing journey as you go through life. It's wonderful. Everything in life can point us to the cross of Jesus of Nazareth. It has different applications for the different times that we are facing, and you just want to be flexible as you communicate that with other people. Have an appreciation for the things. Oh, appreciation for nature is one of them. And by the way, some people come to God by witnessing nature and knowing these things could only have come about by God. So, many ways to come to God. Even the people who have always been close to God because of their family tradition, It just, we all have a testimony, and they are all valuable for people who don't know their personal relationship with God, Jesus. So remember to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ, and then we depend on Him. Well, I think of this current situation that we are in right now with coronavirus. I think about a friend who, for nearly 8 weeks, spent most of each days in the hospital with their mother, talking over a phone, because that's the only way that they could communicate with their voices. There was a separation between them. There was no hand holding. There was no contact. You could put your hand up to the plexiglass, and the mother would put her hand up to the plexiglass. That was about as much contact that there was allowed, except for the last 2 days of the mother's life. At that point, one of her five children was allowed to go and hold her hand. You know that that caused a bit of grief in that family. There are things going on right now that are causing grief. Grief in this country, it's amazing. And I just have to say, what is going on in our country anyway? Do you think that the devil wants to see the kind of human suffering that is going on? Yeah, I kind of do. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to live our life accepting the limitations that we have on our life? Probably we are. And that's a part of what we do as human beings. We fall into line and do what we are told. We obey the authorities in our life. Sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes we hear the stories about the heroes who did not fall into line, but did something remarkable. And that is something that you will have to determine for yourself. What is the right thing to do? And that reminds me of a story about Sophie Scholl, who lived during the Holocaust of the Jews in Germany. She was age 21 when she was confined to a prison cell, and then she lost her life because of the Nazis, because of the Holocaust of the Jews. And that was in 1943. At the end of her life, she wrote a letter, and it went something like this. Staying human is more important than living in fear, as real damage is done by those millions of people who just want to survive, by those who just want to be left alone, and who do not want their little lives disturbed by anything bigger than themselves. And so they live without a cause, without freedom, without honor, and without truth. They live life safe and scared. But safe from what? After all, in life there is always death. In life, the torch of life always burns out. She concludes, I will choose my own way to burn out. So, that is about what she wrote. Now, it's a little longer than that, but if you want the exact text, look it up. Sophie, Scholl, February 22nd, 1944. That is a letter. It's a statement made about what ideals she has, and we can look at what ideals we Americans hold. The ideals that we hold to be self-evident, right? Self-evident? Are we willing to risk? I don't know. What? Are we going to risk our freedom or looking funny among our friends? What are we willing to risk to preserve our right and our ability to sing and to worship God in church without a mask, for instance? What are we willing to risk to preserve our right and our ability to live free? Or to conduct business, to go into a store as a free person? I wonder what is going to come in the future. I just wonder. Are we going to be conditioned to continue to live in the way that we are told? Are we going to stand up? Are we going to use critical thinking? See, there are plenty of doctors and health authorities who do not agree with what is going on. They do not agree that masks or lockdowns are an effective response to a virus. However, the media reports pretty much one side, one point of view only. A few months ago, I heard it said that trying to stop a COVID virus using a face mask was like trying to stop a mosquito using a chain link fence. Well, I wanted to look into that, and then just a few days ago, I did. I really looked into it, and I found that there were several questions about interpreting this, but I did find the basic concept to be correct. That was my experience, that as I looked, I would say that masks do very, very little to stop a virus. Maybe nothing. And there are a few doctors who are saying this publicly, but we just hardly hear anything about it. And like so much of life, we don't look into anything unless it affects us personally. And we just go along with what we are told. Yes, a few minutes ago I talked about that German girl, and I wonder about what convictions we would be willing to support. What convictions would we be willing to stand up for? Oh, for instance, what would we be willing to support with our dollars? Good question. I know I like to support missionaries, and not just foreign missionaries. I think of the missionaries in this country. I think of the people who are wanting or actually taking steps to spread the gospel. And I think that is so very important. And then, you know what? I kind of laugh at me. Because even though it is very important to me, I think I'm doing a little different thing than that, right now. I think that my calling is different as I talk on the radio. I do see that there are aspects to each one of our lives with spiritual, social, and monetary reasons. And I kind of pulled them together. I think it's important to talk about them. And that seems to be what I talk about all these things being reasons for the difficult times that will come. Of course, the timing, that is something I don't understand about. But I do think about what is going to cause a difficulty in our society. Speaking about supporting missionaries or causes, I certainly do appreciate the support that I get through letters and donations. And I want to thank everyone for that. I want to thank you for listening. And I thank God also, because He speaks to me in ways that I hear in confirming that what I'm doing is right and appropriate. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for so many things. Yes, and thank you again for listening to the broadcast. And I am pleased to say that in 4 years of doing this broadcast, I've only had one broadcast repeated. Otherwise, they're all new. They might be similar in subject, but they can also be very different one from the other. So I thank God for working in my heart and my mind every week to enable me to do this. In my life, I have had certain training, and that helps me to speak about what I speak about. I've had training in currency or finance or things like this, and so I talk about the things that I understand. And I don't mind talking about it because I think of the Bible. I think about the many places that Christ and God addresses money, or let's call it currency and finance. I think there's Luke 16:8, the parable about the unjust steward. And it says the children of the world are more clever about the affairs of this world than are the children of God. And that's also a part of why I think it's okay to talk about dealing with money matters and using godly wisdom as we look. So with that in mind, I would say, yes, look at what is going on in the world a lot and understand the patterns. Understand that there are patterns to all sorts of things happening. I think of universal basic income, for one thing. Now, that's a concept that a lot of people will object to, that everyone will get free money from our government. And while it just sounds impossible on one hand, free money from our government to live every month, well, what is the COVID relief money? In a way, that just might be an introduction to free money or universal basic income provided by the government for each person. It's a thought. I'm not saying that it is, but it sure might be. I do think about the different, everything. I think about so many things. About the patterns that we are seeing in life, the patterns that we probably see will just continue. And we have always had patterns, and the patterns we are seeing with the money spending, with the money creation, it's not money creation, it's currency creation. It's credits on a computer screen. And when this pattern has happened in different other societies and countries, the results are always the same. Going back in history, the expansion occurs, and then at some point it inevitably collapses. And so that is something to be aware of. We just don't know when. And if you want to play with some currency or maybe put something into cyber money as it is expanding, sure, go ahead. Try it. Have that experiment with your extra money. I would just say, do not risk what you would need to maintain your stability. That's the way I feel about it. And of course, everyone has their own ideas. We sure do. But I'm not speaking to you as a financial advisor. My perspective is that of a historian. So I see these things going on. I see the patterns, and I say, look out, be aware, because there are patterns. I just strongly say I do not see the timing of the patterns for us right now. And I do know that there are still people who say, don't worry about anything. And I also know there are people who say, look out for hyperinflation, just like Germany did in the 1920s. At that time, here's an example. It's approximately correct. Where you could buy a newspaper in 1922, let's say, for 50 cents or 50 pfennig, and 2 years later, the same newspaper would cost $200 or 200 Deutschmark. Now, that's the kind of thing that happened in Germany. It really did happen. It happened in other countries like Vienna and other countries. And then what happened for Germany? There was a call for a leader with real power and authority to come in. And they voted Hitler into power. And Hitler was desperate to, the people were desperate for prosperity. And Hitler promised prosperity and food and the things that they wanted and needed. So that's what started World War II. The promises of Adolf Hitler created a situation in the country, and there's plenty of people who say, could it happen here? And certainly we don't know, but I brought up those biblical events to say we could come to changes in our society, in our country, in our world very quickly. And of course, there are plenty of different opinions on this matter. Trouble is, I see them too. I just know how bad it would be if the hyperinflation happened, so I say, look out, look out. A lot of people are saying, look out. A week ago, there was an article in Reuters where a United Nations chief, Antonio Guterres, proposed a new social contract to fight racism and xenophobia. And xenophobia means the dislike or hatred of people from other countries or societies. Well, anyway, the United Nations at the same time has a plan to build a better world, and that's been going on for decades. But now it is being talked about under the title of Build Back Better. And so many politicians around the world are giving that that slogan, Build Back Better. And the principles that they want to incorporate are inclusivity, sustainability, and social cohesion. Yeah, so solidarity and cooperation between countries, societies, communities, and individual citizens. That is being promoted. Is that a bad thing? Oh, I don't think so. But what happens is we've seen leaders come along, and one way or another, they define what can be done or what the terms mean, of the definitions, how they're defined. And as they define the terms like inclusivity, sustainability, and social cohesion, that determines the program, and it can be very different from what is originally intended. And that has been a pattern also under socialist and communist leadership and governments. We have seen the leaders change government programs and directions. They've changed completely from their original intent. And so we must be aware of that tendency. One of the things that is always best is if we have the programs within our community or our family or under our control, because the further the programs get away from our own control, the more likelihood there is to have mishandling, or call it fraud, or call it changes in the program, or just bad things happen. So the most efficient way to put your money to work is to have you watch over it. And we know that huge bureaucracies do not spend money very efficiently. Just look around, you'll see it. Look around our U.S. government bureaucracy, and we will see money is not spent efficiently. And we also will see an example of projects that have changed. You see, we trust our institutions, don't we? We do. We trust our Supreme Court and our FBI, CIA, Department of Justice, and the attorney generals of states. We just trust the process. But here we have a lot of allegations that never get covered for one reason or another. They don't have the time. They don't have the money. They don't have the proof. But there have been allegations of voter fraud to every one of those agencies, and not one has taken a serious investigation of voter fraud in our 2020 U.S. presidential election. So that's an example of having organizations stay close to their original intent, and that is close to the source of the money, and that is you and me. So be very aware of how people of the world and organizations in the world make promises that sound good, but then get changed all around. They don't provide anything beneficial to the people, but they say they're doing a good job, and they have great publicists who explain how they really are doing a great job. Well, just be aware. And remember that for all these things, we are the ones who are the biggest motivator, and we are the ones who it is better for the programs to answer to us more directly. Keep the projects small. Keep the organizations small so that we can monitor all of it. And that is one of the conditions that big government and big organizations like the United Nations or the World Economic Forum or the European Union, they're all things that different international banking organizations, they all seek to have a lot of people in a big organization. Okay, I just say be careful of it. Watch out that they are not, scamming you. Be careful that they are doing what they say they're going to do. And the best part of of being able to monitor a project like that is to have it small enough where you can speak to the people involved, where you can have a direct hand in that. I know that's the way it was with a local government that I was used to be a little involved in, is when you could speak to the people directly, that made all the difference for having a good result. So while we are concerned with things of the world like that and organizations, I do hope we all remember to place the God of the Bible as the most important of all that we consider. And yes, he is in charge of all the things of the world. But one thing about God is he has given us free will. We have free will. Apparently, there were fallen angels who also had an amount of free will. And with this free will, we can see why sometimes there is good and wonderful things that happen, and sometimes there are people who choose to do evil and to cause pain. So that's a part of why bad things happen in the world. It's because God gave us free will. Are we thankful for that? Oh, I think most of us are. And we make choices. And we find out that the choices really do impact our life in a big way. They make our life change, and they can make our eternal life change. And so we want to recognize that, and also to know that if we follow the will of God, our life will be ever so much better. I think we see that eventually, unless we're one of the few who know when we're young. That wasn't my case, but it happens to some people. So follow God's good and godly will, the will of God, Jesus Christ, and make your decisions based on those things and his commandments. Early in this broadcast, I brought up Tom Horn's book, The Wormwood Prophecy. That's something that may happen probably well, because he's been accurate in his predictions, but might happen different from what we are expecting. But whatever it is you see, it is, I think it's a good thing to recognize that the time that we have here on earth is limited. And with that question about the Wormwood Prophecy, we might see that our time here on earth is more limited than we ever realized. So, yeah, death can come at any time, but if we're looking at the end of this age and the end of our ability to witness and to live for Christ, well, we just might want to have more urgency in what we do and how we live our lives and our commitment to Jesus. So consider that the time might be much shorter than we might think. So we are judged for the things, for our good deeds, our good works. That's the Bema Seat judgment, and the other judgment is the Great White Throne judgment for non-believers, to see what degree of hell is in store. So we want to have a good judgment. We want all these things to work out just as good and as well as they can for our eternal life. So consider that as we have a life committed to God through Jesus Christ. Spend time getting to know God, getting to know Jesus, and probably a really good way to do this is to read his book, the Bible, and then get an understanding of who God is and what is pleasing to him. So if we only have a few years to demonstrate this, yeah, just realize that time could be short. And on the other hand, it might be longer than we think to talk about something that's unknown, that is unknown. And yet our life span is unknown. We just don't know how long we have to live. And then we get to deal with all the other things around us in life. There is, it's full of good and bad. People who want to have us do something good or do something bad. There is lies and corruption all around us too. So we have to be aware. We have to stay on that straight and narrow path, walking with Jesus Christ. So use your discernment to see what is really going on in this world. And that's the thing about history. We can learn the history of the Bible and the history of the world so that we can see the patterns and make decisions and yield ourselves to the will of Jesus. And as I said, a part of that can be to learn more about him and to learn who he is, who God is, through the Bible. That's a good thing. And God tells us he loves us, and we can show our love for him by being obedient in the way that he wants us to be obedient. And he tells us in the good book, the Bible. You can listen to this broadcast again or any other broadcast that you would like by going to www.christtoday.org. And you're always welcome to write me for my free preparedness pamphlet. If you wouldn't mind sending a stamped self-addressed envelope along with that, that would be great. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.